All right. All right. We're delighted that you're here. You got your Bibles? Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs. Proverbs. Wisdom is always a good thing. Proverbs. Children have gone to their children's church. And Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. It's good to have the doctor back in the house, Dr. and Mrs. Culverson. We're glad to have them back. And amen. He was on the evangelistic and then was fighting a real bad cough for quite a few weeks. So we're glad he's back up and at him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. No weapon formed against us. Amen. Look at someone there and say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Yeah, they'll be formed, but they're not going to prosper. Amen. So we're looking forward to all God is doing. Praise God. Praise God. When you got it, stand with me in honor of the author of this book. And let's go to the Lord this morning. Hear what the Lord would have to say to us.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah.
Proverbs, the 23rd chapter.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Yes, Lord. All right. When you got it, say, I got it.
Hallelujah.
I didn't know it till this week, but the Lord gave me a part two to the message, Love Yourself. Amen. And because God does. And so this is the second part of that, but we'll be looking at it just and recapping just for a moment. But Proverbs 23, two verses, verse 6 and 7. Amen. All right. 23 verses 6 and 7 says this. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And verse 8. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. Oh, my God. Anybody ever make you want to vomit? What a message for Sunday morning. Huh? We want to pull out of that, and the Holy Spirit wants to key on the middle of that. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not doeth, not speaketh, but thinketh. Thinketh. Wow. Look at somebody next and say, what you thinking? If they tell you you don't want to know, you need to immediately move, turn the other way. Amen. Hallelujah. The message today is entitled, Love with Your Thoughts. Hallelujah. Love with your thoughts. As we read that text, he is dealing with the thoughts, with the thinking. Amen. He's saying that as a man thinketh so easy, he's saying that what you're seeing and what you're hearing sometimes, he says, is not what it always is. He says, his heart is not with thee. I may know that things can happen. We can be doing this, doing that, and we're somewhere else. We're thinking someone else, something else. Amen. God wants to deal with what we're thinking, how we're thinking. Amen. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Praise God. That's our word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the love of God. Thank you for the love that you give us for one another. Come, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. You have begun a great work. You will finish what you've begun. We thank you for what you've begun in each heart, each life. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing right now by your Spirit. Come in your strength and power. Come and endue us with new power, new strength, Father. Come and endue us with you, Lord. Come and speak to us this morning. Help us to hear what the Spirit is saying to us, the church. Father, give us the Spirit again of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation in the knowledge of you. Help us, Father, to see, Father, what you see, to hear what you're saying. And Lord, give us a heart to move and to do what we hear and what we see by your Spirit. Thank you for each one today. Thank you for their born again hearts. Thank you, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. We thank you for what you're about to do, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name we say, thank you, Jesus. Everybody, yes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated in his presence. And so, as a man as he thinks, as a man thinketh in his heart, or as he thinks within himself, so is he, not speaketh, not doeth, but thinketh, just thinking. And I want to use, I feel led by the Holy Spirit again to tell you to use as a subject, loving with our thoughts. Amen. How many of you ever had a thought that wasn't loving? Amen. Well, we got some honest people in the house. The last couple of weeks, God has been speaking specifically to us in two areas. You might remember the first one if you were here and those that were able to be here. Number one was believe in yourself. Amen. Tell somebody, believe in yourself. And the second was love yourself. Believe in yourself because God does, and love yourself because God does. And we saw in owning our dreams, and owning our dreams means having your belief in yourself outweigh your fears. Amen. And that we will never embrace our God-given destinies until we first believe in God and secondly believe in ourselves. It's not enough just to believe in God. That's good, but we must believe in ourselves. Amen. Didn't Jesus, I don't know if you can liken us that, but I believe it was John 14, it says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. My Father's house are many mansions. Hallelujah. If you don't believe in yourself, who else is going to believe in you? Amen. Hallelujah. Believe in yourself. And I know that God spoke that to my heart. You're talking to somebody that's been in the ministry almost 40 years, and God had to come to me and tell me, believe in yourself, son. It's easy to believe in everybody else. It's easy to believe in the pastor. It's easy to believe in your husband or your wife. Excuse me. It's easy to believe in this person or that person. But we need to believe in ourselves. That he that hath begun a good work is going to complete what he started, regardless. Amen. And so we looked at that, and we're embracing that. We saw that having that belief in ourselves will outweigh our fears, and that we could never embrace our God-given destiny until we first believe in him and in ourselves. And we saw that belief, where that belief comes from. Where did it come from? Anybody talk to me? It comes from the Word of God. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to believe, to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen. Glory to God. And so we saw that this comes from the Word of God, but specifically it came from Philippians 2:13. And it said that God is working in you, giving you the desire. Aren't you glad he gives us the desires of our hearts? He said he will give us the desire of our hearts and the power to do what pleases him. Somebody say, what pleases him? Not pleasing ourselves, not trying to please other people. I may know we probably all start out trying to be people pleasers. Come on. I may have tried to please people, and no matter what you did, they still weren't happy. Come on. So you might as well just please God. If God is pleased, then he'll work things with the other people. If you try to please people and not please God, at some point, not only they're not going to be happy, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be pleased with them, and you're not going to be pleased with yourself. There's where a lot of self-hatred comes in, a lot of self-guilt. A lot to do with that, but that's I don't want to get into all that. I just thank God that a lot of that's taken care of when we believe God, when we believe in ourselves, and when we love God and love ourselves. Amen. A lot of people hate themselves, and they act that out. But God's giving us the power to do what pleases him, giving us a desire, not pleasing us. We saw that what keeps us from believing in ourselves, what was that? It was the opposition. Amen. And what comes with that, we also saw that with our biggest opposition comes our greatest opportunity. I said, you got to get this. With the greatest opposition comes your greatest opportunity. with our greatest opposition this morning, First Lady, has come and is here, our greatest opportunity. Yes, we feel it in the spirit. Yes, we know what the enemy is trying to do. But God has said, in that opposition, and it is great. No, make no mistake about it. It's meant to wipe you off the face of the earth. It's meant to shut you down, take you out. But God says, in that opposition, every opposition, I have hidden an opportunity. Glory to God. And so what am I looking? I'm not looking to the opposition. I'm looking to the God who has the opportunity in the opposition. Are you hearing me? And that kind of reminds me of something I was going to share till a little later, but let me share it right now. We need to focus on God instead of our fear. Now, I hear the Lord specifically tell us this morning, you got to be careful because it's easy to focus on your fear. Fear is real. Paul said he had many fears, but he didn't focus on the fear. He didn't focus on the problem. He focused on his God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you notice that in Isaiah 41, you don't have to turn there, it says, fear not, I'm with you. Don't look around you in terror and be dismayed. For I am the Lord your God, I will strengthen you, and I will harden you to difficulties. I mean, no, we could use a little hardening in that area. I will harden you to difficulties, because we all have them. He says, I am the Lord who says to you, fear not, I will help you. And I looked at this passage, it tells you not to look around you in terror and be dismayed, because when you look at your circumstances, you look at them until you become afraid, and it is always a mistake. Yet that's just what many people do. I said that's just what many of us do. All people do it. We have to get a hold of ourselves. The more you focus your eyes and your mouth on the problem, how many know it's one thing to focus your eyes, another thing to focus your mouth? Come on. Because you can have what you say. Some of what we say we don't want to have. See, I don't want to be confessing the problem all the time. I don't want to be speaking what the problem is. I want to speak the answer. I want to speak what God says. I see what the devil's doing. I see the fear that's coming. I see the picture he's painting. I see what he's doing. But I want to see what God's doing. I want to speak what God says. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. And so if you focus your eyes and mouth on the problem, the more fearful you become. And instead, you should focus on God who's able to handle anything. I said, God can handle anything. You believe God can handle anything. Anything you will ever have to face. I said, God can handle anything you will ever have to face. Glory to God. Ron, remind yourself, Pastor, God can handle anything that I may have to face. Glory. He says he promised to strengthen you and to harden you to difficulties. And so no matter how great and important or small and insignificant your fears may be, God is saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Hallelujah. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, fear not. God says, I will help you. Tell them again, fear not. God says, I will help you. He will help me. He will help us. God is our helper, ever-present help in the time of trouble. And when I'm afraid, I will look to him. Hallelujah. Now it's great to confess that. That makes us feel better. How many know we got to believe that? We got the saying done. Now we got to walk it out. Yeah. And that's a little more difficult, isn't it? But we can do it and we are doing it. Amen. And so we saw we're not here to please ourselves. We're not here to please everybody else. We want to be pleasing, but I want to please God. We're created for his good pleasure. I said you're created for his good pleasure. You give him pleasure, you will receive pleasure. Woo! Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Come on. Real pleasure. You give him pleasure and you're going to be happy about it. You're going to feel good. So we see that opposition. It is all around us. And then we saw the second word. But we saw that opposition is not the end of our story. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And then number two, quickly, God spoke to us, love yourself. We saw Jesus' words to us in Luke 10, 27, to love our neighbor as ourselves, that we love ourselves. Some people have taken that in the wrong connotation. They're loving everybody around, you know. He didn't tell you to sleep with everybody. He said, love them as you love yourself. We saw that in Luke 10, 27. We saw that the key to loving others is to love yourself. Are you with me? And the key to loving yourself is to love God first with all your heart and your mind, your soul, and your strength. He said one thing. He said, you must love the Lord. Must. It is a must. You must love the Lord with all of your strength, all of your mind, all of your soul. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Notice it's God first, your neighbor second, and guess who's third? You and me. We got that turned around. We love me first, maybe God second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Come on. Love our neighbor more. Love our family more. Love our ministries more. Even love our church more. Love our husbands more, wives more. Love ourselves more. Come on. Love our dog more. Cat. Told you last week, some even love their hamster more. Or their pet snake. Whatever you put first is what you love more. Come on. If you put yourself first, you're loving you first, but you ain't loving you the right way. Is this okay? So we saw loving God first, putting him first, is the key to loving yourself. It is the key to loving yourself and having a healthy respect. Somebody say a healthy respect. And a balanced love for ourselves. Healthy respect. Balanced love. Not loving ourselves first. Not our boyfriend. Not our fiance. Not our girlfriend. Not our job. Not our ministry. We're so worried about pleasing them and thereby pleasing ourselves that we're disking. We saw that last time, disrespecting God by not putting him first in our lives. Come on. I'm only telling you what I see. Amen. We're so worried about pleasing them that we're disrespecting God, and God will. How many know God will take care of them and you too if you put him first? I said God will take care of them and you too. You don't have to worry. What kind of witness are we giving? What kind of God are we serving? When the Mormons and the JWs are more faithful to their false gods and more faithful and have more passion for their false church than we are to the true God and to the true church of the living God. When they serve God better and more faithful to what they believe than what you are, you're pleasing yourself and you end up pleasing them. And what kind of witness is that? When God says, put me first, serve me first, and they look at that and they think, they serve their God first. You think they would wait for you? No, they're going to do what they're going to do. They do it under intimidation. We do it because of love. We do it because we want you to know that God is first in our life. You're not first. You can come to church with me if you want, but I'm going to serve God. I'm going to put God first. I love you, but I'm putting God first. I'm not letting the ministry go begging. I'm not going to be out of my place. I'm coming. You can come with me, or you can wait, and I'll see you after church. I'm so tired of a church that is an afterthought. Amen. What kind of witness? God has showed you, O man, O woman, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee. We come out and go back like the groundhog. What was his name, Paxley or Puxley? What's that groundhog comes out every winter and to see how many weeks still more winter? Spring is coming, going to be an early spring. I think it's Puxley, huh? You don't know about the groundhog? My God, you got to get out more. Amen. Like old Puxley, he comes out. He looks around a little bit, sniffs the air a little bit. Then he retreats to his comfortable, self-pleasing, comfortable ways. Back to what's comfortable. Mm-hmm. Tell somebody, don't be a Puxley. Amen. Don't be a Puxley. The Holy Spirit tells us, make no provision for the flesh. The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. Every time we put God second, the Lord showed me what the problem is. We do not have the mind of Christ. He said, let this mind be in you. You got to let it be in you. It's not going to be in you automatically just because you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You got your mind too. You got your will too. You can do what you want to do. You can put you first or you can put God first. And you will be challenged every day of your life. Every Sunday you will be challenged. Every Wednesday you will be challenged. Let this mind be in you. You got to let it. And I'll tell you, the mind of Christ will always put God first. Not my will, but thine be done. Come on. Woo. And I'll tell you what, if there's no mind of Christ and there's no putting him first, there will be no ministry. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how many tests you pass. You will not have a ministry that is worth nothing until you put God first. Ah, come on. Because mind of Christ goes with ministry. Woo. And how many know that's what we're here for? We're here, we are ministers of Christ. We are ministers of reconciliation. No wonder so many people are unhappy. And guess who's the most unhappy? With how the church, God is the most unhappiest, the most disappointed with an American church especially that puts everything else first, everyone else first, themselves first. As a generally speaking, not everybody. I may know there's always exceptions to the rule. But the problem is the exception has become the rule these days. I said the exception has become the rule. And I heard the Lord say, says, yeah, but you don't know my situation, brother. You don't know what's going on, Pastor. I may not. But I can tell you this, if you don't start putting God first, your situation is going to go from bad to worse, sir. And if this church doesn't start putting God first in this church is going to go from bad to worse. Are you hearing me? We better encourage people. We better get with the program. The devil ain't playing no games. He means to blow us completely off of the map. What do you think First Lady was feeling this morning? He's attacking everybody and anything and everything. And he's getting away with it all because we don't have the mentality to put God first. When it becomes between you and him, it's God. I love you, but it's God. If you can take care of yourself, I'll be go putting God first. Come on. My God. Jesus, help me. Holy Spirit. Many have already have situations going on that are going south and putting everything and everybody else before God. Yeah. And you know, I heard First Lady say Hebrews 10:25, forsake not. Admonishing the church, Paul was, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Don't forsake it. How many know the Holy Spirit knew in the last days it was going to become epidemic? Don't forsake it, as the manner of some is. Living Bible says, let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. How many know we miss the corporate blessing when we forsake the assembling of ourselves? And every time you miss your corporate blessing, you rob yourself, and some people are robbing themselves blind. See, America thought it could get along by making money their God and making everything else God. I may know today, we are not getting along very well, and it's getting worse by the day. They mean to bring this whole thing down, and they're a long ways down the road. God told me when that election took place in 2008, midnight, God spoke a word in my heart out of Ezekiel. He says, the end has come. I said, God, whew. He said it 3 or 4 times to Ezekiel. I said, the end to what? He says, the end of the free enterprise system. And what does that mean? That means an end to freedom and socialism and communism. It is so far down the road right now, I don't even know if it can be stopped. And I'm not sure. I think we can prolong it. We can postpone it when people pray. I may know we can put off. Nineveh did, and God gave them 80 more years. Yeah, but I tell you, God is bringing it. He's gathering the nations right now. He's moving in Russia. You see what's going on there, what they're doing? God has prophesied all of that. He says, I'm going to put a hook in her jaw. I'm going to bring her down with the Islamic nations. I'm going to bring her down on the hills of Israel, and there I'm going to glorify myself. God is going to make a new covenant with Israel. He's going to put their laws in their hearts and in their minds, or write them on their hearts. Spoke that to me this week. I'm telling you, we're close. We're close. It's all gathering. It will not be business as usual. Don't think you can continue to live your life the way you've been living it. For yourself. Smile, preacher. Glory to God. This is serious business. If we don't get it together, if we don't come together, it's going to be big trouble. Because there's already big trouble. The church is the only place, the only ark of safety. Jesus in the church. Woo. I could tell you more, but I don't need to tell you any more. That's enough. I like what Psalms 133 says, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity means together. He says, for it is there. He says, like the anointing oil that ran down Aaron's beard to his garments, it hits the head and it flows down. He said, man, he says, there the Lord commanded the blessing. It's there he commands a blessing. See, but we haven't needed his blessing too much because we're still fairly blessed. We're still getting by. That really hasn't hit us like it's hit a lot of other people. God's giving us time. Get your priorities right. Understand where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Understand what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Understand what God requires of you. When he says don't forsake, that's what he means, as the manner of some is. Why is he saying? Because unity is where the blessing flows. That's where he commanded the blessing. We are not going to be blessed anymore than for the unity. And you know why we're not blessed anymore here? Because we don't have a unity. Generally speaking. And I'm telling you, there's some people now that look like they're in unity, but they're thinking other things. God spoke to me about it. You know why he spoke? He said, because I wasn't thinking some right things. Uh-oh. How many know it's easy to think wrong things? He talked about that guy in Proverbs. He says, yeah, he wants you to come and eat with him, he wants you there, but he says, but his heart is not with you. He looks like he's with you, but he's thinking something else. He's thinking about himself. That's what he's thinking about. You know what he's thinking about? He's thinking about the cost of the food. Because the Bible in one interpretation says he's a stingy fellow. He looks like he's all, you know, but he's really tighter than a rubber band. And God is saying, as a man thinketh, so God is dealing with our thoughts. We're doing one thing. We're showing one thing. But too many times we're thinking something else. Oh, my God. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. When God starts dealing with our thoughts, whoa! It was bad enough when he dealt with what we do and what we say. Couldn't we have stayed right there? Now you got to mess with what I'm thinking. Now you're exposing me. I've been challenged before because you're not thinking right. You're not thinking love. You're not loving others with your thoughts. You love them with your mouth. How many know your spirit never lies? I can feel your spirit before I hear you open your mouth. A lot of people tell you they love you, but you know that ain't right. They don't love you. If they loved you, how can they leave you so easy? Your son, little Al, beautiful wife, just all of a sudden leave him. How do you do that? How do you just walk out? Can you see what kind of love we have? Can you see what kind of commitment? Can you see what people are doing things, but they're thinking something else? Wow. God is working with our thoughts. Let this mind be in you. Woo. Yeah. God, the anointing, the beard, there the Lord commanded the blessing. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said, let us go. I was glad when they said, let us go. Not sad, it says glad. God says, I was sad when they said, let us stay home. Uh-oh, I know I've got my foot in it now. Somebody help me pull it out. How good. We have an old song in the service, an old gospel. I don't know if it's a hymn or just a good, it says, onward Christian soldiers. marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. We've changed it to backward Christian soldiers marching as to dross in the flesh, with the flesh going on before. Whew. Did I sing that wrong? Did I mess that up? That's the way many Christians sing it. Backward Christian soldier. They go forward and backward. The Bible says you can't depend on a man or a woman like that. It's like a broken tooth. You ever chew on a broken tooth? I hope you don't have to. Amen. Oh my. I really wish we'd have gone to Psalms instead of Proverbs. I can only tell you what I see. We're going backwards instead of forwards. We've got to seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. We need those things, do we not? But when you try to add them to yourself, you get the more disappointed you get, the more disillusioned you get, the more fatigued and exhausted you get. When you try to add it to yourself, you will become disappointed at some point. You will become disillusioned, discouraged, fatigued, and exhausted. But that's our way. Nobody's going to give it to us. We got to add it to ourselves. No, he said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. Say first, the kingdom of God and all these things. See, that's what we got to do. We got to seek first the kingdom. That's the problem. You want to know what the problem is, why we don't have all these things? You know what the problem is here, why we don't have all those things? Because we're not seeking first the kingdom. We're seeking our own kingdom. It's my kingdom come. My will be done. While you tell somebody something and they look at you like, who are you? Who you think you are? Tell you who I am. My job and my calling as a pastor is to confront you, to correct you, and to instruct you. But we're so bullheaded and so proud, can't nobody tell us nothing, that we get an attitude. You could even say it nice. And you can tell, well, they may act like they received it, but I guarantee you they're thinking something else. They're thinking, who does he think he is? Little pipsqueak. I like what my brother says, I've eaten chicken bigger than you. Yeah, well, God's got a turkey bigger than you. You got to give me a break, folks. This is about 12 midnight when some of this came. Amen. Love with your thoughts. Number three. Taking love to another level. Saying and doing. Yes, but this is thinking as a man thinketh. Got to think right. How many know we got to think right if we're going to act right? We got to think right. Can't act right if we don't think right. How many know that this to be true, that we can be saying and doing one thing again and thinking something else? Look at somebody next to you and tell them, Jesus loves you and I'm trying. Amen. Now look at the one on their side, say, Jesus loves you. And I'm trying. Bless God. How many can say amen to that? The youth are going to their camp. God bless them. Give them a safe trip up there. Brother Eric, God bless you. We love you. Thank you. Amen. Love with your thoughts. Somebody say love with your thoughts. I'm going to close it up here in just a second. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad this is a short message? I'm glad I couldn't take too much more of that. Aren't you glad pastor's messages are getting shorter and shorter? You know why? Because God has been working. God is ready to take us to another level. God spoke to me. I listened to a couple CDs some months ago. I said, oh, my God. These poor folks and what they've been having to endure. 20-minute closings. And they still love me. Woo! Greater love hath no man than you. And getting off on tangents. And my God. I mean, it's good to listen to yourself once in a while. You ought to tape yourself once in a while. I know you don't want to hear yourself. Better yet, I'd like us to tape our thoughts. Woo. There'd be some murder in the house. I dare say you probably have a new pastor one of these days soon. Hallelujah. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We make the mistake when we have the opinion that our thoughts don't affect other people. We make a mistake when we think that our thoughts are ours and they don't affect anybody but me. Yes, it affects you, but I tell you, it affects other people too. How many know thoughts send vibes? What I think here, what I say here, can affect someone there. If I don't send love, it's going to be felt in the spirit. Not only by them, but by me. How many of you ever heard this before? I haven't heard much about this thought thing. We make a mistake if we don't think our thoughts affect other people. You can often feel the thoughts of others, and they can feel your thoughts. Think about it just for a moment. You can often feel the thoughts of others. You ever kind of had an icky feeling sometimes? Just feel like somebody's just got their mouth on you? Come on. Sometimes I feel a spirit in that. And I feel it, and it hits me. God gave me kind of an early warning system. I said, uh-oh, somebody's mad at me. The devil's using somebody. Because I could feel it hit me. What it is, it's the spirit of the devil using that person to talk mess. And if we're not careful, we'll think mess. We may not say it. We may be so disciplined. Oh, I would never say it. No, but you're thinking it. Come on. And I learned something about that. For years, I would feel that. And the Lord gave me another one system. He'd say, I would just keep binding it in the name of Jesus. I bind it in the name of Jesus. And after, I don't know, some hours sometimes, it would finally break. The Lord finally showed me what to do. He said, bless them and send good things to them and command the devil to move on and to leave them alone. Loving others with our thoughts. See, the other's just thinking about us, me, but the other's thinking about them. Bless them. God told me, he says, you don't even have to say God bless them, because I know you can't get the God out. One time I tried to bless them, I said, God blast them. Oh, I said, that's the wrong one. I may know we got too much blasting and not enough blessing. Yeah. They don't need to be blasted. The enemy's already blasting them, blasting you. And you know what? Whenever I do that, that thing breaks just like that. Doesn't take long at all. All of a sudden, I can feel that spirit. Boom. It'll go. Loving others with our thoughts. I like that little song. Killing what? Killing me softly? Killing you softly? I like killing you softly better than killing me softly. Amen. Woo, glory to God. You're killing me. We're killing them. Proverbs teaches us that we become what we think. Your thoughts not only affect others, they also affect you in a most amazing way. If you are what you think, woo, that's a thought. How many have had some thoughts just this last week? Come on. If you are what you think, you are a murderer. You are assaulting them with a deadly weapon. The tongue is a deadly weapon. Yes, it is. Amen. And doesn't that make you feel good, though? Doesn't that make you feel good? Oh, God. They're good. They're dirty. Yeah. God, yeah, yeah. You know, this last week I got into something on that with somebody that was just acting a fool. Been acting a fool. And I was talking to my wife about it, and I just made a few comments, and I had a little can of lemonade out, frozen lemonade. I was getting it out, and dang it, before I could get it in the pitcher, it spilled all over. I may know God has a way of correcting us a little bit sometimes. I just felt like God said, now's a good time to shut your mouth. Now's a good time to send blessings. Now's a good time to bless them. Bless what? Bless those that curse you? Pray for those that pray. Bless your enemies? Do good. Hallelujah. See, I'm talking about me now. We're going to get to you in a minute. No, we already been there. How many know if you think loving thoughts, you become loving? You are what you think. Said you are what you think. If I send loving thoughts, I become loving towards that person. Whereas I could have strangled them a moment ago, now I'm loving them. I'm praying for them. I'm asking God to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that their sins may be forgiven. Yeah. That they may receive inheritance with the saints, that they don't miss it. And then I have better feelings. The flesh likes the other. Huh? The flesh likes the other. But I may know, backward Christian soldier marching out the door with the flesh of Ron Miner. going on before and behind. Backward is not good. You think loving thoughts, you become loving. But often we think things about people that we would never say to them. Come on. Woo. Not realizing that even your thoughts can affect them. It is virtually impossible to treat people in a loving way if you are thinking angry thoughts about them. Amen. And this is a good lesson for all of us. That it is possible, somebody say it's possible, not only to sin in word, what we say, and in deed, what we do, but also in thought. That is just as much a sin just because you didn't say it. You thought it. Say, what do we have now? The thought police? The Holy Spirit. You can turn him that way if you want to. So if you want to be a loving person, how many want to be a loving person? Don't we all want to be a loving person? We must choose to think good thoughts about other people. It's a choice. I said it's a choice. I choose to think good thoughts about you. I have to make that choice. Because right now, you don't want to know what I'm thinking. Not right now. I'm just, you know, I'm not thinking bad things right now. I have to wait till after the service. You know, I am. I'm not doing that. Learn to love with your thoughts. I said learn to love with your thoughts. It'll be good for you and good for others. We got to think good thoughts on purpose. We got to think them intentionally. Negative is predominant in our world. Negative automatically comes. If you ask somebody positive or negative, they will automatically go to the negative immediately. Our brains go, isn't that what that teaching on the brain? Whenever you said something to somebody, they said something's positive, something negative, they showed on a little things they put on their brain, automatically went to the negative. Automatically. You have to make a decision, a choice. And the quicker you do it, faster you do it, the better off you will be and they will be. Amen. Intentionally. We know that when God has renewed our mind and with a fresh attitude, we can choose to make right decisions. That's why we need the word. We got to have a fresh attitude. How many have taken a bad attitude from one day into the next? How many whipped up on them yesterday and you're going to whip on them all in the day too? And I'm going to whip on them tomorrow too. I'm going to whip on them every day. The dirty so-and-sos treating me like that. Doing that to me. I may know, we know for instance that love is not necessarily a feeling, but it's a choice. But choose to make the right decision. We must choose to think good thoughts about other people. God, take a moment. Take a moment and think good thoughts about someone you know right now. Maybe somebody you weren't thinking too good about. Right now, think about something good. Find something good about them. If they only have one tooth in their head and it's right there where you can see it, thank God they have one tooth. Amen. There was a guy that had a funeral. I think I told you about him before, Pastor. And the town bum died. And they thought the pastor was going to talk bad about him and nothing good to say about him. And he just kind of didn't say anything bad about him. He just said, he looked at him in the casket and he said, well, he has a nice smile. The town drunk. Another lady, woman pastor gave praise to God for another lady that had two teeth. She praised God they were on top of each other. Both teeth were on top of each other so she could chew something. Amen. We got you. Think about somebody right now and think about something good about them. God knows you got enough bad to think. Think of somebody's love. You know I'm talking right. Maybe somebody at work. Maybe somebody at home. Maybe somebody, maybe one of your kids. Maybe your dog. I'll tell you what. I didn't work this on my dog, but I confess. I repent. I should have worked it this week on him. He ate my only nectarine on my tree. I was going to kill him last year for it. This year I said, it's on. I couldn't even find the nectarine without looking 5 or 10 minutes. I didn't think he could find it. I see it half chewed. I said, I'm going to kill you. I said, no, I'm not going to kill you. But you did eat my only nectarine. It'll work on people. It'll work on animals. Amen. You think animals can pick it up too? Oh, yeah. You animal lovers, animals can pick that up. They pick up the vibes. Ask these horse women, amen, horsemen. They pick that up. Whenever I get on a horse, which is not very often, they pick up a lot of negative stuff when I'm on them. I can't get a saddle to stay on the horse to save my life. Every horse I've gone on, the saddle was loose. May one time, she's going on riding, having a good time, and I'm like this. Said, yeah, that's a lot of fun. Sure it is. I can only imagine what the horse is thinking. If horses could cuss, that horse cussed. Balance, yeah. It is balance. Leg on each side, behind in the middle. Well, I started out that way. We're going to be riding white horses when we come back with Jesus. I need a few lessons, cowboy. I'm going to have to get them before I leave here. Amen. Hallelujah. Take a moment, think good thoughts about someone you know, and see how much better you feel. See how much better you feel. Amen. People that don't do what you want them to do, do what they should do. Amen. Think about sending good thoughts to them. Amen. See how that makes you feel. No wonder people are grumpy, and if you could get in their little brain, my God, it's killing them. Amen. Think good thoughts about people on purpose. Somebody say on purpose. And as your attitude starts to change toward others, your relationship will also start to change for the better. As your thoughts begin to change, so will your relationship. Your relationship will never be any greater than the thoughts you're thinking. And regardless of where they're at or where they're not, at least you don't have to be where they're at. You don't have to be unhappy and cantankerous and grumpy and nothing ever good enough, nothing's not happy about nothing, not pleased with you, not pleased with themselves. They're not pleased about anything. But you don't have to live like that. Amen. Come on, stand with me if you believe that. Hallelujah. I may know we could stand better relationships. They will start to change for the better. Lord, we thank you for that. I like what David said. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Somebody say acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable, which tells me God is listening. Holy Spirit is in us. I may know the Holy Spirit probably has to have a new set of ears every so often. Or maybe he just closes his ears and is grieved and is quenched, because God is love. And he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in love. Amen. I'm challenged. So you sure are, Pastor. You are challenged. But we're all challenged. I said we're all challenged. This is a challenging message. But I believe God is bringing a blessing, First Lady. God spoke to my heart too and said he's ready to pour out a blessing on this church. And the devil's been fighting it ever since I said those words. Been trying to put it in the reverse. Go backward. But I want to tell you, we're believing God. We're trusting God. If God said it, God will do it. But the question is, who will he do it with? Who will he do it with? I say, Lord, it'll be with me. You're going to pour out a blessing on the church? I will be here. I will not miss my blessing. I will obey you. I will not disobey you. I will not continue to please myself. But he who called me out of darkness into this marvelous light. Amen. I will overcome. I will be where I should be, where you want me to be, where I need to be. I've robbed myself long enough. Yeah. And every time you do, you become weaker. Every time you miss the corporate blessing, you become weaker. Oh, there's exceptions, but God, help us. God, help us to put him first. Would you pray with me, Heavenly Father? Help me to put you first. Your kingdom, your church, your will. Help me to do it. Forgive me where I have put myself first. Where I have pleased myself instead of you. instead of others. Forgive me, Lord, for my selfishness, my stinginess, my refusal to hear you and to do what I will and what I want. I surrender to your will. I want what you want. As much as is within me, I will do your will. In Jesus' name. God first. Others second. And then myself. That is the order. Lord, help me to follow it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a praise and thank him. Hallelujah. God bless you. Have the greatest week you have had. May your relationships begin to change if they need to for even better. And may your thoughts, amen, be thoughts of love. Love others with your thoughts in Jesus' name. And especially your pastor. Oh, thank you. I love you. God bless you. Have a great week. Amen.